your license, Misha.
I said that.
I'm not quite sure if you can hear me.
Very quite well.
Precisely doing nothing at the moment. I can't see how you can consider that you're doing well. I've never been known to say nothing.
Can you say that you're saying?
I couldn't say something about you. And I'd much rather say nothing. This is most extraordinary. Very dear. Being dead is an extraordinary business. Especially when you're talking to people on Earth who are supposed to be alive and are very much dull and dim and dead in consequence. Extraordinary business is it.
Yes.
It seems to have been a great deal of interest in me. My work, Stephen. When one writes, the doctor, what can the medium pay? There's nothing to buy you. I'm clearly putting down on paper your thoughts. You will even have to use another human being to demonstrate that which you feel intensely within yourself. I find it extremely irritating, because how can another person be responsible for that which I want to convey to you with clarity and intelligence? No individual can ever act as an instrument in a true sense. I remember way back, centuries ago, now it must seem, if not to you, to me, when I used to try to get people to portray characters that I had created, to say lines that I had given them. Things were sounded often so strange to me, as if they were not my lines at all. Yet they were. The people very seldom seemed to have the proper intonation, very seldom seemed to be able to put the weight behind the right word, to convey the meaning behind the sentence, to give it authority and tone and colour. And where the people were, with all due respect, very poor medium. Same applies here. Using a medium to communicate with you from the side of life, it's like using an actor on your side to try and use that person to impersonate, to give through, as it were, oneself, or that which one has written in the case of my plays. Oh, very confusing. Oh, you might as well know. My name is Wild.
I'm still alive.
Well, I've read your books. Yes?
How fortunate you are.
Yes.
I say, how fortunate you are to have read my books.
Yes, I have. Yes, so great. And I love some of your books. That's one of these. Love your books.
I suppose I should be highly flattered to know that you read my books and you actually got one or two, which means there are others suggest that you bought them. Which is very nice to know, not that I'm getting any of the royalties. No doubt you've gone to a very good library.
Wild, can you tell us some of your life on the outside now? What you're doing?
Well, I must admit it's a relief to be asked to discuss one's life over here in preference to one's life on Earth. Because in any case, my life on Earth is pretty well known among the gossip mongers. I would say to you that my life here is not unlike my life on Earth. You'd probably be very horrified, but it happens to be perfectly true. And I've no regrets about it whatsoever. I'm perfectly happy and perfectly contented, and I live a life of delicious sin. But only as the world sees sin, because as the world sees sin, it is no longer sin here to be human and to be natural. But on Earth, to be natural is to be sinful. But over here, one could be sinful because it is natural. But the world has strange ideas of sin. I live a natural existence here, and I'm perfectly happy. Yes. I have my friendships, and I have my friends, because you can't have friendships without friends, obviously. Mm-hmm. What an extraordinary couple you are.
Why?
Well, I've heard about you. How you strive to reach people on your side, to enlighten them and to uplift them. But do you think they're going to be any happier for that? Having seen so many people, I think they're much happier in their miseries and in their darkness than ever they are in light. You show illumination to a person, they start screaming like mad and running like mad to escape from illumination.
Still, oh, they have never cared
for you. I know. I'm being facetious. But then, of course, I do realize that there are many people in your world who could be helped by this truth, because it is true. But at the same time, there are many to whom it might even be a bad thing. Look how happy some of them are with their saints. What a pity to take them away from their saints. They'll be lost. They'll be like children in the wilderness. Oh, I wouldn't say that. It gives them great happiness. Why take away something from a child that amuses it and keeps it quiet? After all, you want the child screaming because it's lost its joy.
Yes.
Knowledge comes with adult lives, they were told. That's why so many adults are like children. They haven't really grown at all, have they? What an extraordinary pair you are.
And I quite agree with you. I look upon them really as people like children. They have a knowledge. And they have express their knowledge.
So many of those on your side profess everything to know this knowledge, to know this truth, to know about communication, to know about life after death. So many of them seem to me rather like overgrown children. They haven't really benefited from that knowledge. Indeed, it seems to me that some would be better without it.
Yes, there is a point there. Some would be better without it. In the way you didn't use it.
You know, you don't want to attack this subject as if you were some missionary going out into darkest Africa. You might end up in the cooking pot, you know. I'm quite sure you have, and I'm quite sure the people who stirred the cooking pot for you have been spiritualists.
Yes.
You'd be much safer among the wildlife.
Yes, I agree with you.
These spiritualists, you know, I've been to many of their so-called meetings and services. You know, if it were not rather sad, it would be highly amusing. I've been to some of these seances, these meetings, and really, it's so pathetic. Mm-hmm. I've seen dear little old women in Bayswater standing up or waiting, at least so they thought, thinking that no doubt they were being controlled by some great entity or soul from this side. Their imagination has run right in Bayswater.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm quite with you.
So much harm is done by these strange creatures. Why is it that the women of 60 turn to this sort of thing and become most extraordinary characters in consequence? They would have been much happier pushing a bassinet up Bayswater Road.
That's why they've had no bassinet to push.
Possibly. Well, they certainly haven't even given birth to children, but they've given birth to some very weird creations purporting to come from outside of life.
Yes. What are you doing on that side of life?
Why should I tell you what I'm doing?
Oh, you're interested in that.
Actually, sir, I'm still writing. And I'm still having my plays performed. And I am off. Called upon to go down into the lower spheres to help. Strange, no doubt, you may think that I should be called to the lower spheres to help. Possibly you might even interpret as well. Probably I'm more suitable to help people on lower spheres who haven't progressed very much myself. But actually, I'm very much in tune with all people. My mind, I trust, gives me the entree. Even if my reputation does not.
Oh, I don't know. I think you're all through.
My reputation does not worry me. But it seems to worry a hell of a lot of people on your side.
Your books are very valuable in knowledge.
More money has been made out of my reputation since my death than ever I was able to make out of my plays, which goes to say that sin is very successful.
You see, Mr. Wilde, you always had a very open mind, didn't you?
My mind was always wide open.
It was above the average, you see.
My mind was always very wide open, and as you say, above the average. Can you tell me what the average is, and how open a mind should be? I was always ready to receive inspiration. Indeed, I might say that my successful work were due to the fact that I had an open mind, and in consequence much was poured through it of inspiration, which was highly successful, and I feel sure that if it were not for the fact that I was high-minded, we wouldn't have had perhaps some of the successful works that I was able to perform. But of course all this is a matter of dispute among many people. One man's rat poison is another man's meat.
Oh, no, I think I think every writer plays
its
part in some way to a certain extent.
Oh, but don't take away our own personality, our own originality, my dear. Please.
No.
But I'm quite prepared to admit I was inspired. I was always an inspiring figure. In fact, now I've become almost all inspiring, possibly because I'm dead. You wish me to drop the fiddles here, be serious.
No.
But to be serious is often to be boring. So many people when on earth were so serious that they couldn't fail to be utterly boring. And I refused to join such a gathering.
Yes, please don't drop it, because it wouldn't be you
if you'd first drop it. This I do think of, because there will always be people who say, how do we know that this was Oscar Wilde? And so I'm expecting to come back very much the same attitude towards life and towards people, and to say the same sort of things that would be expected of me. So for your sake I do this, because I know, poor dears, you're struggling so desperately hard to convince. And if I could assist you to convince, then I should be doing some good work that may wipe out some of my blots.
Since you've been on the other side, have you learned anything?
I'd be a most strange person if I hadn't learned something after being here so long.
Mm-hmm.
We all learn, whether we like it or not, whether we are apt pupils or not, we all learn, no matter how bad the teacher.
Were you surprised when you found yourself?
Nothing has ever surprised me. And certainly nothing could possibly surprise me in regard to God, because he was a person who was always doing those surprising things that one was to read only one day in the Bible. In fact, he seemed such an extraordinary character that he became interesting in consequence.
Yes. how actually did you find yourself in your class? Can you describe your actual
passing? Oh, I just died, Lucas Williams.
But you must have found yourself somewhere in a garden or a room.
Why should I necessarily find myself in a garden? Or why, for that matter, should I necessarily find myself in a room? How embarrassing would it be to, for instance, wake up and find that you were Lady Cynthia's boudoir at a very inconvenient moment.
People met you, didn't they? Somebody
must have
met you and helped you
over. Well, it's a natural thing, I suppose, to assume that if you're going on a long train journey somewhere, that your friends at the other end will be at the station to meet you. But I remember taking some extraordinary long journeys and having a wearisome trip in consequence, and arriving in the middle of the night, no one there, no one with a brougham, no one with anything. Just stuck there with one's, but with one's luggage, wondering whether to go to the nearest hotel or to get the train and go straight back. But of course, unfortunately, one can't get the train and come back to your side of life, or fortunately, whichever way you happen to look in. But actually, Thursday, I was met by my mother.
Yeah.
And how did you find things there? Did you find much about the same things on Earth, or did you find things
vast difference? Well, naturally, you can't go to a strange country without finding the vast difference. But the extraordinary and interesting thing is that the people will say, situations may be different, the countries may be different, habits may be different, one's attitude towards life and everything may be different. The people, thank God, will say, they still look the same. They still are the same. And in consequence, one felt at home. I met many, many people that I had admired, and many that I didn't admire, since I've learned to admire for different reasons, of course. And I've travelled a great deal to many places, many spheres, many countries, if you like to call them such, because in a sense they are. There are no barriers, only barriers of oneself, within oneself, and one's own mind. The barriers between human relationships and peoples are within oneself. They are man-made. One learns to discard them. One learns gradually to avoid many of the pitfalls. But when one's been here, even for a short time, one realizes how very much we are all part of the other. We are all entwined in tune, though sometimes at first it seems that we're very much out of tune. We are all very much in tune and all very much of one mind and of one spirit. It's all very intriguing, because all God's children eventually begin to merge, though they retain their individuality and separate personality. We all begin to merge until we are harmonious, and in consequence we live in a condition of peace and quietude and harmony, where all of each could have his or her interests, such as they may be. Some feel the urge and need to work in various ways, others do not. I prefer to continue to write, because writing was to a great extent my life, and I'm hoping to find a suitable instrument on your side, if I can, whose mind will be sufficiently open that I might be able to transmit new prayers, new works, new things of interest, which will help humanity and enlighten humanity. But always remember that the best way to reach a man's heart is not through his stomach, but to reach his heart is to realize that one must give to him something which is far removed from material things, something of the mind and of the spirit, which will last through time itself. I feel that I could do a great deal, that I could be able to buy a secure instrument to do this work.
We hope you will find it, just that your book I admire it very, very much. You've been a true rogue.
I won't embarrass you by asking you the name of one.
But, and I also read about your trial too, at the last. I thought you didn't have a very fair trial.
Thank you very much.
Well, it was very unfair, and yes.
Your trial has been an active several times.
Yes, I know. It has been the most highly successful part of my career.
Mr. Wilder, have you any...
I find this very complicated, speaking to you, most irritating in a way. Oh. Yes, if I can't get my mind clear, all the time there are stumbling blocks and hindrances. No doubt I should improve. Carry on. What do you wish to ask?
Everybody has in their past. Have you had some regret for something that you didn't do while you were here?
My first regret was that I didn't stay longer on your side.
Oh, really?
Well, of course. I still had desires. I still wanted to write further. I still wanted to reinstate myself, strange as it may seem, in human society. Mm-hmm. Not that I ever felt completely out of it, but I was sufficiently vain to assume that I could recapture my old place in the world. But that's a long time ago. Since then I've changed.
Mm. Yeah. Is there anybody you would like to give a message to? We'll go down and take.
I don't think there's anyone left on your side that I have any particular desire to send a message to.
Have you met Shaw? What's that?
Oh, I have met Shaw. Of course I've met Shaw. Mm-hmm. What a man.
That's sir. Yeah.
Extraordinary character. Brilliant. His father. Well, I better not say these things. I'm supposed to be, to some extent, developing.
What's it like on your side of playing your own? Something about that.
You mean pictorial?
Yes. Oh, your theatres and things like that. You've got theatres, don't you? Well, you act. You still act, you know. You still have plays on that side. And that,
oh, one still writes. One still continues. Our world is, in some senses, as I've no doubt you've heard, face similar to your hair. We have all the manner of scenery that you are accustomed to. Even more beautiful. Nature. As you know, nature exists here. But the worse aspects of the more irritating aspects of nature are not non-existent to us. For instance, we don't have the pests, such as flies, earwigs, and all the irritating things that nature concocts to annoy man. Those things seem to have disappeared, fortunately. We seem to have all the beauty and the loveliness of nature without all the petty irritants. No more swatting flies. I used to know a woman once who used to love sitting all the afternoon in a chair with a swatter. And she had a swatting afternoon. I often wonder what she must be doing here without a swatter, without flies to swat. Oh, a long time ago, things have changed. I live in London. I hardly recognize it. Thank God I lived before my time.
Yes, it just brings.
You don't recognize all the
terrific
tall buildings that are going up.
I don't recognize hardly anything of London. And I'm so happy that I came as I did and I departed as I did. I don't want to live in your London today.
What are your buildings like in your, on your side?
They are all manner of buildings. But on the sphere in which I live, they are all elegant. Great beauty.
For towns and cities?
Yes, you could call them cities. They are cities in which untold thousands of people live and have their habitat, but so different and yet in some ways so like the old.
But you don't have glass or things like that, do you?
No, thank goodness we do not have those machines. Horses, we still have. Animals, pets. Much that meant so much to humanity. And humanity to some extent gave to in return. Such as one's pet dog, one's pet horse. Animals are very near to humans. Unfortunately, humans are very often near to animals. I sometimes think the animals are more advanced than humans.
Yes.
At least they follow their natural instincts and they're not, in consequence, considered to be doing anything morally or otherwise wrong. Human beings are always in trouble because they are trying desperately, often to fight their true selves. Man should be allowed to be his true self, because only by that can he help to develop. I do not mean by that that crime as such should be recognized or in any way assisted. But there should be some curb, it is true, by the law. But the law itself has such strange ways of working. It cannot understand the frailties, or if it does understand the frailties of the human, it often punishes unnecessarily. We must help each other. We must learn to be more kind, more tolerant. We must try always to put ourselves in the other person's place. Try to realize that we have a duty to others, and that the only way we can help to find our salvation is to be merciful, and to be considerate, and to give love.
Do you have a house yourself, being writing?
Yes, I do. A very beautiful house. A house after my own heart. But then again, in a sense, I suppose it is because I myself created it without even realizing it. I was creating, before I ever came here, by my thoughts, by better thoughts.
And with the garden and all that outside?
I have a garden. Not too large, but sufficient.
Yes.
I was never one for the outdoor life. I appreciated nature. I preferred to watch nature from a distance rather than to always be underneath her glaring light. One perceives often more clearly, more distinctly from the distance. I must go. I will come and talk to you again.
Very nice to
you. Thank you very much.
And even sometimes I seem to be glad to you. I've done it as much for your benefit.
Oh, yes. Or
if I can have measured the help to others. But otherwise, if I have not, to some extent, my own self, people will say that cannot be. Mm-hmm. So for your sakes, I do this. And I can and will talk on the things that you wish to speak about in due course. May God bless you. That is the common thing to say, I think, when you say goodbye, spiritual senses. May God bless you, my friends. I'll say it for the rest. Be one of them. Goodbye.
Thank you, Mr. Warren.
Thank you,
bye-bye.